This paralyzed man of 38 years is sitting by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus helps him, and he leaves, and Jesus said to him, he leaves him with these, I'm counting them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. He says, "Do you want to be made well?" And you almost think it's a rhetorical question, because the man's been paralyzed for 38 years. And he asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" And just some of the songs we were singing today and Sunday school, we talked about when there's a change, which coming to Christ is a change, there's challenges that come with it. And it's like, do you want it? He leaves the choice up to us and to him. Do you want to be made well? And that's what, guys, when we come to celebrate communion, when we take this time to come before the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, do we really want to be made well? Do we want to make those changes that really count? I love the Color song. That's an old song. Like Tressa said, what's that?
1982.
Okay, that's the year I graduated. It's probably not that old of a song. But Tressa said it was probably sang a little harder back with, who did that? Petrus did it, didn't they? Yeah. So, but it talks about changes and the things that come. But the line that says, do you want to have life? It has to deal with come and have life. And we're going to look at that today in Scripture. How submission and servanthood all come to, do you want to have life? It's up to us. God leaves us, he doesn't come to force us to come to him. But there's a point where you have to say, like we just, it may your will be done. What did Jesus say after he wrestled with God in the garden, basically, in the Garden of Gethsemane? He just said, your will be done. And that was Jesus going through that. Guys, and a lot of times you think, I can't do this. I can't get through this. I can't believe this is going on. If you submit, if you are a Christian and you are reading your word and doing everything you possibly can, it's the word of God. He never said it would be easy. But guys, we're headed home. And this is where we get perfected. This is where we work things out. This is where the Bible becomes real to us, is this side of heaven. This is where it makes sense. So as we come to communion, let's take a few minutes just to just ask God those things in our life that we just can't get rid of, that we just are hanging on to, that give them to him and say, Lord, may your will be done. Let's take a time to do that. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. And Lord, we thank you for that new blood that changes and gives us life. We just thank you for everything. And Lord, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to give us the vision and the ability to do your will. The challenges that confront us, Lord, let us overcome them in your way and in your power. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So last week I said we were going to do Proverbs 31, the last Proverbs. But you know, Mother's Day is next week, and I said that would be really good to do for Mother's Day, Proverbs 31. It has to do with a wife. I said, well, we're teaching through 1 Peter, and that leaves us at chapter 3. And I don't know if this is any better, but it's submission to husbands for wives. But you know what? You have to keep in mind, but you know, the women get 6 verses and the men get 1, but they're all. keep in mind, this is where you have to keep in mind the main focus of what Peter's been teaching, and it's an encouragement in the face of suffering. Okay? It's encouragement in the face of suffering, and it also is, at this time in history, a lot of women were coming to Christ, and a lot of the husbands weren't. And women didn't have any rights back then. So they had a lot of unbelieving husbands. And this is pertinent for us today too, but he's encouraging them of the thing they need to do, that they just can't leave the marriage just for the sake of having an unbelieving husband. So it works both ways, but there's a lot of good solid scripture here that we're going to look at. But these are principles that are to be not only put into place, but practiced. These are the things we have to practice. You always hear, practice what you preach. I always love it. God always gives me things to practice before I preach. You know, I remember I told Tressa before, I said, you know, I'm going to be teaching 1 Peter, and it has to do with suffering, so we need to pray a lot. Because God's always gives me a lot of object lessons, and he's been good at that. But as Christians, you're not without proper provision. We're given a position, and we have rewards. We've been given a position, as we've looked at it earlier in Peter, and it gives us a view of Jesus and the sure foundation that's placed perfectly. It's now for later. It's almost those rewards you get now and later. Not like, I almost thought we shouldn't have had communion today. We should have passed out aloe vera because there were so many sunburns on everybody. You know,
it's the color of spring.
It's a color of spring. It's kind of that sun you get now, and then you get the burn later. You know, but God's never slack in his promises. If he says it, he's good for it. And sometimes it takes a long time. But it all centers around this concept of servanthood and submission and suffering. A lot of those things we don't like to hear. But when you get that vision and the idea of what this is in your life, it all starts to come together easier. It's easier. Not that Christians serve a God and we can't get this idea who's inept at dealing with the problems of sin, the sin-fallen world and all that comes with it, but one that, due to his giving of free will, because of his love for us, lets you know that he's with you and he's equipped you and to properly to get to know him and his nature, you have to spend time with him. Having every reason to live for God, we choose instead to live for everything but God. Just think of that. We've been given everything to live for him, but so many times we decide not to live. We live to everything but God. So the next situation we're going to look at in Peter is marriage. And it's a look mainly at marriage and women dealing with their unsaved husbands, but also there's going to be I'm going to go through the first 12 verses, subsequent, that was a big word for me, called the blessing. There's a call to blessing, and then how to love life. He gives this last few sections from Psalm 34 on how to love life. You know, people say, you know, I just want to have fun, and I'm not referring to Cyndi Lauper because that's back in like 1982, but it's girls just want to have fun, but guys like to have fun too, okay? But you know what? If you were here for a Christian video, it's like the Puritans, and people said, you know, the guy said Puritans, they always get this idea of people not wanting to have fun. But Christians, when you're free in Christ, you can have so much fun. Amen. Because you're operating within the parameters that God set up, who created us. And when you fall outside those parameters, can you have fun? Oh, absolutely. But the consequences can be real deadly too. So before we get into God's word, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, and I always thank you for your word, how it directs us, guides us, gives us strength and the encouragement that we need. So Father, as we get into your word, as we look at these verses that deal with husbands and wife and marriage, and also the blessings that come and how to love life and have life in you, just work on our hearts, Lord, and teach us. Teach us the things you want us to learn. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So like I said, Peter addresses this section to Christian wives who had unsaved husbands, telling them how to win their husbands to Christ. And he added some important advice for Christian husbands. But no matter what your marital status may be, you can learn from Peter the essentials for a happy and successful marriage. Now, what you have done or think is best in a marriage, it really depends on what God requires. Because even though what you are saying and doing might work or have worked, oftentimes we're the last to realize that it's not working, okay? That it doesn't work. You know, I look back at my first marriage and I didn't really think there was anything wrong. But when I really look back, there were things I could have done better. So oftentimes we think we're doing a good job, but when you're both, guys, when you're both reading the Bible, when you're doing scripture together, when you're praying together, it heads off so much. I came across a little blurb of information. It's my math for the day. Oh no, I have 10 points coming up. 37 minutes of meaningful conversation take place between spouses every month. 37 minutes of meaningful conversation every month. That's not a whole lot of time. Tress and I do a devotional together, and we're at the point now where he's talking about the five steps of communication. I can't remember all of them, sorry. but one of them's reporter talk, and another one's like factual talk. It, you know, like reporter talk, you're saying, well, did you hear about what so-and-so, what happened in town? And you know, that's conversations, but it's kind of like you're just reporting facts to each other. And there's just steps that go up. 37 minutes, though, a month. And you realize why you drift apart. Turn over to 1 Peter, if you're not there, chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to read real quick. This is from Crosswalk, February 24th, 2016. So it's more pertinent. Number one, the 10 lies the world may tell you about your marriage. Number one, if you're not compatible, you may have married the wrong person. Mark 10:9 says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The grass is greener on the other side. Ephesians 5:25, 33, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, and the wife must see that it is that she respects her husband. I like these. It gives the world's view, and then it gives a biblical response to it. If you're not happy, don't stay in an unhappy situation. You deserve more. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor other. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13. Your spouse should know how to meet all your needs. I love this. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's a great memory verse. That's one of my favorites. Divorce is always an easy option. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future. I love this one. Number 6. Your kids should come first because they need you more. Now, I'm going to read this whole, all of them came with an explanation, but this one's important. And pay attention to what I read here, because it's a tough one for everybody. It's a balance. It says, it is a subtle lie of our culture that seeks to somehow make us feel like better, more attentive parents when we cater to every need of our children. But the truth is, what our kids need more is to know that their mom and dad love each other. Our spouse should always have priority in our family. Through a committed, loving relationship, we're better equipped to parent our children together. This is often hard to live out. Through various stages, kids' needs can seem constant, demanding, pressing, but God will give us wisdom to see what matters most in every busy season, to establish healthy boundaries, and to know when to say yes and when to say no. Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's a balance, and everybody's been there. Sports season, Ranger season, Missionettes, Ranger season. It's a balance. Summer comes. It's this balance, but we have to remember, God sets the order. God, the spouse, and the kids, and everything falls in line. If you start mixing it up, this is the way your life is. It's this shuffle game. That's the way it is. So number seven, I'll go through these quick. You may have just fallen out of love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these, love. 8, your marriage is beyond repair. Once trust is broken, it can never be restored. With God, all things are possible. Yeah. Number 9, innocent flirting or viewing pornography won't really hurt your marriage. Your spouse will never know anyway. Hebrews 13:4, let your marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. And last, marriage is a 50-50 relationship. Guys, it's 100 on each side. Amen. It's God's math. 100, 100, 200. Okay? Amen. That's the way it works. So, this isn't about satisfying what everybody else is doing or even what you feel is best for you. It's all about what God has planned for you and His power. So, chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive. And this, in the Greek, this is a military term. It represents order. Yeah. Guys, we need order. We think in a military, what would boot camp be without a sergeant? Bruce?
A lot of
funner. You need a commander to call the troops and to make the plans and to tell them to go. And it's no different in a church and in the church and in a family. There has to be order. But submission means mutual cooperation. Okay, that's what it means. So likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Then even if some do not obey the word, meaning they're unsaved, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe, and this word means to view attently, that they observe your chaste conduct, modest and respectful conduct accompanied by fear. And that's the Greek word phobos, which means respect, that they review you with respect. What do women need more than men? They need to be known, know that they're loved. What do men need?
Respect.
The Bible tells us that right here. It just tells us that right here.
Amen.
Women need love, men need respect. We're created differently. We are different. So, before I get into reading anymore, this Ephesians 5:22 in the Amplified, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. It's as a service to the Lord, not to him, it's to the Lord. And he gets the benefits. For a husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector, and listen to, and men, and their responsibility to God as head of the house. So there's submission. There's a lot working together. Disobedient or unsaved husbands at this time and now are to be won over by conversion. And this word means literally, or conversation, sorry. I told you I think I need my eyes checked again. Oh, I'm just going to go put 14 font on my paper. That's what I'm going to do. That'll work. Or 16. But then I might be killing more trees and some people might take offense to that. Molly, yeah. But the word is conversation and it means literally behavior of the wives. It's how they act. That's the conversation that they're having. The apostles, we've seen the duties of subjects to God and of servants to their masters, proceeds to explain the duties of husbands and wife. And Matthew Henry said this, and this is important. A Christian's calling, as it invests them with glorious privileges, which we all like, so it obliges them to difficult duties. He's saying is that in practice, saying these things are easy, but in practice they get hard. Okay? They get harder. Because it's easy to say we do these things, but once you have to do them, that's where they say the rubber hits the road. It's hard. Verse 3. Do not let your adornments be merely outward, Remember the time this was taking place, ladies? You can wear jewelry. This was a time where when women who wore gold and dressed certain ways were considered prostitutes. So this is what he's saying here. He's do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And this word in the Greek, precious, is surpassing value. God's gift, the new life, it's surpassing value. That inner heart, that inner spirit in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, now listen, Peter wrote this to Jews. He's going back to the Old Testament. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And here it is, as Sarah obeyed Abraham. He's saying, you know how they revered Father Abraham? He's going right to Father Abraham. He's pulling it all in. Calling him Lord or Master, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And what? Why he adds that with any terror? That means you do these things without any terror, or you're not afraid of what your husbands may do to you. That's what it means. Because some of these women, if they operated as Christians, if they behaved as Christians, if they called Christ Lord and Savior, there were repercussions in the home from their husbands. So he wanted to say, you have to do these and don't be afraid of the things that might happen. When Christian couples try to imitate the world, there will be trouble in the home, okay? One of the examples when I was reading a commentary said this pastor walked into somebody's house for counseling and they had, you know, all the tabloid magazines and all these other things in their house and, you know, and all these things out scattered about their house. And you know, if you imitate the world, your marriage will imitate that. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we have to remember. If both partners imitate Jesus Christ in his submission and obedience and his desire to serve others, there will be triumph and joy in the home. Will it be a perfect home? Guys, show me a perfect home. I love it when somebody says, so-and-so's coming over, we got to clean up the house. We can pick it up, guys, but we live in our houses, okay? Just kind of, you know, clean it up, pick it up. Get the stuff that the dog might have left and you didn't catch. I don't know. Pick up the broken things, do the dishes, put them in a dishwasher, right? Put all the laundry where nobody can see it and shut the laundry door. Guys, we live in our houses. We're not perfect, but we serve as Christians. We're a work in progress. And that's what God wants us to know. One side of submission, if you're the only unbeliever in a house or in a relationship, marriage, I'm talking. One-sided submission requires tremendous strength. That's why God tells us not to be unequally yoked. Tremendous strength. The meek shall inherit the earth, remember, Matthew 5:5. It's amazing how many verses that through this study went back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:5. Independence and self-reliance are positive traits. They are good, but only in the framework of God's standards. God has a place and position for everything. And if you try to jump ahead of that, it doesn't work. Like Mason was running relays yesterday. He ran the second leg. What would have happened if all of a sudden he just stepped out of place and said, I want to run the fourth leg during the middle of the race? We got disqualified. There would have been a little absence there. Guys, it doesn't work. You can't say, God, I don't like this part of my life. God says, no, it's part of your life for a reason. You know, that's why so many people say, you know, fortune teller, I want, you know, call whatever in California. You started seeing them on TV again, you know, call for an appointment. For one thing, why do you have to call somebody for an appointment if they know the future? They should know. But anyway, God doesn't let us know those parts of us because we would say, well, I don't like that. I want another part of it. But it just doesn't work that way. Submission includes obeying and recognizing God, calling him Lord and Master. That's what it says here in verse 6, Lord and Master. Proper understanding how God's hierarchy works makes everything that much easier to comprehend and operate within. Psalm 106:15, because we can do whatever we want. 106:15, it says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Guys, we can do what we want, but God might send a little leanness into your soul. We all could lose a little leanness, just speaking for myself after the winter, but I don't want leanness in my soul, okay? That's one place I don't want it. Now a word to husbands. We get one verse, but it's a big one. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. This word is, in the Greek, it's intelligence. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker. Physically, this means, okay, and I'm just saying in general, men are stronger than women. I'm going to leave it at that. I know there's some women that can beat me in arm wrestling, and I don't want anyone to witness that, myself included. But guys, this is just speaking because we're protectors of the women and providers. And being heirs together, this is an important word in the Greek, together, it means joint participation. Key word, together. Heirs together, joint participation in what? The grace of life. It's God's gift of a new life. In the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered or cut off. Let me read this in the Amplified. In the same way, you husbands live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact, and with an intelligent regard for marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. Will God hinder your prayers if you're not being the husband you should be? The Bible says yes. It says literally they'll be cut off. It'll be cut off. The Christian wives will experience a whole new situation and needed guidance. And this joint participation is the grace of life, and it's the gift of a new life now. It's that blessing, that called the blessing, where he gets to hear in verse 8 and 9. It says, finally, all of you, he's talking to everybody now, be of one mind, and this means unity of spirit, not uniformity. We're uniform as Christians, but we're all different, okay? We're all different. But it's a unity of spirit. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. And here's the key. How can we do this? Not by ourselves. Love as brothers. It's love. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. And we'll get to this more in a minute. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. There's a lot going on here. Peter wants to prepare the Christians for the best of blessings in the worst of times. I love what Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. And what that means in the Hebrew is he's not only loading us, he's piling it on so much you can't even handle it. He's loading us with benefits. He's giving us so many good things, so many blessings. And blessing means a favor from or to God. It works both ways. It's a favor from God. It's a favor to God. That's the way blessings work. In verse 9, the Life Application Bible, this is now we got the things we should do, and then it says not returning evil for evil. That's the devil's biggest tool he uses against everybody today. What do we want to do if somebody makes fun of us or says something bad against us? We want to return evil for evil. We want to match them insult for insult. What did I say a couple weeks ago with Tozer left for us? One of the things you should never do. Remember, we talked about being a Christian is hard. You never defend yourself. Never. Never. Think of that. Just think today. I'm going to just wake up today and say, I'm not going to defend myself today. Ooh, it's hard. It's hard. Especially if somebody tells you your baseball team or football team is horrible. Just see where that gets you. Or you're a bad shot. I'm a better shot than you. Around here, I go, right away somebody's like, no, you're not. First thing out of their mind. I would never say that, but I say I get a lot of shots when I go hunt. I've had some one-shot kills. Three. That's pretty good. I've had like a 21-shot kill. Jesse and Bruce can testify. They hit an antelope 7 times and it survived until I killed it, until it died. Yeah, that's a good story. I think it was you were skinning it, and Jesse's there, and he's like, 7 holes in it just proves you can shoot an antelope 7 times and it's still alive. Yep, he's a tough one. But let me read this from verse 9 on, from the Life Application Bible notes. It says, in our fallen world, it is often deemed acceptable by some to tear people down verbally or to get back at them if we feel hurt. But remember, that hurts God when we retaliate. Peter, remembering Jesus' teaching to turn the other cheek, Matthew 5:39, encourages his readers to pay back wrongs by praying for the offenders. In God's kingdom, revenge is unacceptable behavior as it is insulting to a person, no matter how indirectly it is done. Rise above getting back at those who hurt you. Instead of reacting angrily to these people, pray for them. Pray for them. How is this seemingly impossible task accomplished? The power has to be from the Holy Spirit, because, guys, it's not about you. It's all about God, and it's for His glory. We're going to see it's for the love of life. It's for the love of life. Look at verse 10. It says, for he who would love life. Look at that. He who would love life and see good days. How can we do these things that He just laid before us? Not to do these things, not to repay evil for evil. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The practice of religion, Matthew Henry says, particularly the right government of the tongue, is the best way to make this life comfortable and prosperous. A sincere, inoffensive, discreet tongue is a singular means to pass us peaceably and comfortably through the world. Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That'd be a good one for us to say every day, each one of us. Set a guard over my mouth and a watch over the door of my lips. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Hard thing to do. Social media, I won't spend too much time on it, is bad for this. Because it's so easy just to throw something out there. Because you're not by the person. And some of the stuff out there is horrible. I mean, vile and just unbelievable. And guys, we can't do that. We can't be partakers. If somebody says something about you on social media, so what? Block them. Okay? Get rid of them. Don't even go on your social media.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Is it hard not to do? Yeah, it's really hard. And it's something we're all working out, but it's something we need to do. Guys, there is so much hatred in the world today. We were looking at the church history video today, and there was the 40-year war, there was, how many people got killed?
8 to 10 million.
8 to 10 million, and after 40 years, they just stopped fighting because everyone was tired of fighting the war. 8 to 10 million. They probably don't even remember what they're fighting for. And you see it today. There's just so much hatred. You know, I don't mind people protesting. This is my political point for the day. I don't mind people protesting. But know what you're protesting for. But it's just hatred. It's just hatred. You don't break things and get arrested and do all these other things. Well, you get arrested for speaking sometimes. But you know what? If you're doing it peaceably, do it. But don't break people's businesses up and you destroy things. No, just do it peaceably. It's just hate. And it's really hard to take. I stop watching the news a lot now because I just don't. It's depressing. It's always the same. So it's, Watch what we say, okay? God, we're responsible for our actions. Verse 11, look at this. These are the things God lets us do. He lets us do. Look at it. It says, let him turn away from evil and do good. A choice. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. What's the hardest thing to be is a peacemaker, isn't it? Be a peacemaker. It's hard though. But be a peacemaker. God will let you do anything, although keep in mind what has all come before and who would love life and see good days. Love allows all possibility. God gave us free will because he loves us, because it allows any possibility. Any possibility. Love also involves judgment, okay? God's love violated is judgment. And you see that today. Don't judge me. People, don't judge me. You say, don't use that incorrectly, okay? You know, it's, you know, the God of the Bible is a God of love. He's a God of judgment. He's one God. One God. You can't dissect them. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, 9, for they shall be called sons of God. If you go out and seek trouble, you'll find it, right? I think the teachers and principals in school pretty much know who's going to spend time in their office. And so does the rest of the school Bible at the first month, and definitely by the end of the year, okay? Why? Because they go out and seek trouble. You know, don't do that. It'll get you in trouble. You know, teachers in here know. The kids know. The kids know what things they can do in school that might get them in trouble. But what do? They do them anyway. Don't seek trouble. If you're out of town and you're going 33 in here, in this city, any Wyoming town, it's a good chance you'll get a ticket. If you're going 33, and you live in town, you'll just get flashed with the lights. I'm getting flashed a lot with the lights lately, so I'm kind of backing off. I am, and that's, I don't know why. I'm going 32. I don't think that's that bad. But anyway, if you seek peace, you can find it. If you seek peace, you can find it. Isn't it great when you just say, what kind of day did you have? I had a peaceful day. You had a peaceful day. Now, trouble will find you. If you're a Christian, trouble will find you. If you're a non-Christian, trouble will find you. Why does trouble find us? Is it because God doesn't love us? No, we live in a sin-fallen world, and we're all bent to doing bad things. Now, this doesn't mean peace at any price. Use righteousness and the commands as guide and guidelines, and don't create problems just to have your own way. Peace is a result of spending time with Jesus, and it takes effort, and it's worth it. It's the proper order of his holiness. And what do I mean by seeking his righteousness? Look at the last verse we're going to look at today. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 12, this word eyes means literally eyes of the mind. It's the faculty of knowing. God is eyes. He's just on you. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. You might say, Lord, do you even care? Do you even know? Right here, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. But the word righteous means observing divine laws approved or acceptable to God. It's not observing what you think is right or what you want to happen. It's what God says and he's put out as his commands. Keeping the commands of God approved or acceptable to God. The God of the Bible, the God of the universe, your very creator is extremely personal, loves and cares about you, and he doesn't want you to marginalize your faith, family, and freedom. Because when you start doing those things of getting away from him, you're just handing over your faith, your family, your freedom. And that's what he's talking about here today with marriage and the call to blessing and how to live or love life. Now, I'm wrapping this up. I can see you're all anxious to get outside and get some more burn going. I put sunscreen on yesterday, but it was late in the game. It was too late in the game. I thought the thought would count for something, but it didn't. He takes special notice of you and exercises a providential constant government over you and bears its special respect and affection for you. His ears, God's ears are open to your prayers so that any injuries he hears, he has this remedy that you can complain to him about it because he's your heavenly Father. Sometimes you're like, I can't say that to God because he'll get mad. If you thought it, he knows it. So tell him. So tell him about it. The theme God wants us, God pays attention to those who call on him, verse from Psalm 34 here. And whether God offers escape from trouble, remember this word, this letter is about encouragement, or help in times of trouble, you can be certain that he always hears and acts on behalf of those who love him, who love him. If not, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, a living relationship with God requires right relationship with others. You might say, I can't get along with anybody. You know, all these people don't get along with me. Guys, you have to get along. What's your relationship with God? What is it? How's your marriage? How's your life as a believer? It's the Acts 2:42. Are you spending time in his word, prayer, fellowship, and communion? If you're not doing those things, your life gets wobbly. It gets wobbly. And what's with these spinner things kids have in school now? I don't know where they came from. Yeah, it's crazy. But it's guys, it's this attention deficit disorder thing we all have. That's what it is. And I don't have it, but I guess I just grew up when things were simpler and we didn't have things like that. Kids have these little cubes that they push buttons on, and now they have these spinner things. I'm like, they're more of a distraction to me than anybody else. I'm like, I want one of those just to have one. We're called to do these things under suffering, okay? Remember that. We're called as Christians to be encouraged to do these things. And here's the hard part, under suffering, so we need to live above them with God. We're to be inspired. He gives us assistance. And this word encouragement means advancement. We're not stuck in the same place just because you're going through a hard time. God encourages us. He wants us to move ahead. And only God can keep you over and above. Once you set the purpose, realize what that is and who is in control. The rest of life is defined, and you then get to live. You get to live in love life. The key, the call to blessing, the favor from God to you. And how that looks during suffering, it's through encouragement. It's through encouragement. God's word was written to be studied, understood, and applied. It just wasn't written just to sleep on or put on your coffee table. It was written to be studied, understood, and applied, Ezra 7:10. You go seek God, not for what you can get from him, but for who he is, not was or will be, and faith decides what that is and that it's all right. If you remember anything today, remember this. Deliberately decide to love life. Be intentional about it, because you can decide to endure life and make it a burden, escape life as though you were running from a battle, or enjoy life because you know God is in control. It's a choice God made and the choice God allows you to make. So be deliberate on what you choose. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you always for your word and just this time together. We thank you for the great weather. We thank you for the time we get to spend with friends and family. And Lord, just strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, give us the strength to do these things that you laid out in front of us today. To consistently be good examples of you, Lord. And Lord, when we make mistakes, that we apologize and correct them and just move on. There's no condemnation in you, Christ. There's a whole lot of love. We thank you for being a God who cares, for being a God who's patient, and for a God who always loves us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up for one more song.